We good? Great. Very good. We're going to reconvene this meeting, Board of County Commissioners, and pick up again with item 13. We've just finished hearing from the applicant and from the planning department about this item. I'll turn to you, Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any thoughts or questions that you'd like to bring up at this time?
Some thoughts for Kathy. Kathy, this is a variance application. How long has it been in consideration, either from your department or the Planning Commission at this point?
This was submitted June 26th.
June 26th?
Yes. And then it was heard at the Planning Commission August 3rd. So that was 38 days.
So what this represents now is an appeal from our Planning Commission to the Commission to review and either overturn the decision of the Planning Commission or verify it and approve. Is that correct?
Not quite, no. The staff make a recommendation. The Planning Commission hears that recommendation. The Planning Commission considers this and then makes a recommendation to the board. So the board is what is making the final decision.
Board making the final decision. But it is an appeal from the decision of the Planning Commission.
It is not an appeal as far as legal.
I believe the Planning Commission technically is advisory in nature. And so their decision is to advise us. If we were to approve it, we'd be going against their recommendation. But it's technically this is the decision-making step, and not an appeal.
So we had a lot of conversation and detail from the applicant. And I'm going to assume that the majority of that was introduced at the Planning Commission as a part of the applicant's concerns and approach to the approval process. So I guess I'm looking for, we had a lot of testimony here today. Was that same testimony basically offered to the Planning Commission?
There was not any new topic that I heard today that wasn't discussed at the Planning Commission. It may have been phrased differently.
Say that for me once more.
There was no new topic of information that was presented today that was not discussed at the Planning Commission meeting. It may have been phrased a little differently today, but the topics of that are still the same. There was probably one thing where bringing up some of the other decisions that have been made by this board, and it should be pointed out that one of those that he brought up was indeed a variance. The other two, one was a parcel map and one was a special use permit. Those have totally different findings that have to be made in order to consider for approval. So it's not quite apples to apples on that.
So basically we're not hearing new information or new testimony that would theoretically have changed the decision by the Planning Commission. Would that be correct?
My opinion would be no. You're not hearing anything different.
So our planning department is in concert with the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission has made a determination, and that is now here at our desk, but we really haven't heard any new detail or testimony that might change those decisions.
I don't believe the applicant presented any additional information than what was heard by the Planning Commission and staff previously.
All right, I'll reserve further questions for thoughts you might have along those lines.
Great, thank you. Kathy, just as far as, you know, there's reference to a comment from a neighbor. Is there written comment to review, or is that not something that's available for us?
We did not receive any written comments from the neighbors. The neighbor that had spoken confidentially to Lindy, so our other planning assistant in our office.
Understood. And as such, I think it's a fair point that while certainly we want to take that into account, if there's not an opportunity to respond from the applicant, it's pretty tough to consider that in our decision-making heavily. I'm hoping for a bit of clarification on the location of the travelway within the easement. And I, I was up till about 3 in the morning digesting a lot of this stuff, so I think I have a bit of a handle on it. But the map that particularly seems to help me get a feeling for what's going on there appears to be the more technical one that was submitted, and then Kathy, you kind of indicated some approximations with red and yellow lines on that, and we have the power poles in green.
Yes, the one on page 8 of the staff report, I believe.
On page 8. Thank you. So I'm not technically that savvy, but it appears to me, and maybe I'll check with both the applicant and with you, it appears to me that on the underlying map, the indication that is that the travelway is at the extreme south end of the property, with that dotted line indicating roughly the center of the travelway. Is that what the map is indicating?
This would be the entirety of the road that is shown from the very south property
lines. Right, so we have parallel solid lines. There's a dotted line in between them. Is that what's indicating the roadway, the parallel lines, the dotted lines, kind of roughly the middle of where we think the road is? Okay.
It's a little more rugged along the north side of that utility road.
Yeah, would you mind coming up, and if you don't mind, thank you very much, because we do these hybrid meetings, it's helpful for people to hear.
Obviously, the travel line is a relatively smoothed out area.
Of course.
Between those, as you mentioned, those two dotted lines, on the north side of that, where you see the there's a telephone pole and the guy wire that's on the utility easement, it's obviously the gradations in the topography map are a little more disheveled. There's a berm there. Just to the west of me, as I mentioned, there's a well and a yard hydrant also in the easement. Where you see the square area there, that is where those are lines demarcating topography. That is where a grader has pushed snow into the easement and into my property, as you can see.
Sure.
That's where vehicles are parked, two vehicles with snow plows. I have pictures of those if you would like. Through the winter, where they piled a berm that made it impossible for me to walk back to my property to kind of evaluate what my plan was going to be.
Sure, understood. Yeah, and I thank you for that offer. That's of less interest to me than where the actual lines are on the map. You know, we can arm wrestle about snow plowing in a heck of a year, right?
Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, Kathy, this is what prompted your comment that you didn't feel that it accurately represented the actual travelway, that potentially it was too far south, because it shows the travelway abutting the power pole on the one side and quite a ways from it on the other, which doesn't really seem, as I look at pictures, it seems like the travelway is pretty much equidistant between those power poles. As it comes through the roadway. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
And so that was your effort here, which is non-scientific, but
correct,
an effort to, with the red lines, to try to say this is about where the roadway actually is. One of the concerns for me is where it flares out into Mr. Miller's property there as you head further east. When I look at the property boundaries, The easement that is there, the access easement, has this 100 by 100 foot square, but it doesn't flare to Mr. Miller's side. It flares to the other side. And so even though there may be clearing there, it feels to me like a bit of a stretch to say the road veers into his property, even though it certainly is within the easement and could, it feels like a bit of a stretch to say that that's where the travelway is. Where that jog in the red line comes in a bit. Do you have any clarification or thoughts as far as that goes?
Just when trying to determine where and what's used as a turnaround area, that area is what's clear, and that area is in the easement. So just to note that that is a 100 by 100 foot area. A typical cul-de-sac, a small cul-de-sac, is 96 feet across. Mm-hmm. So there might be a few feet on either side, but if that was ever to be really constructed to something that would meet fire department requirements and such, that would be about 96 feet. So there's not a lot of extra space there for what we typically size a cul-de-sac for.
Understood. Understood. Well, yeah, and certainly it's just, and as I look at that layout, I mean, so much of it is not cleared at all, but is within the easement on the south side, and it's difficult. Again, with the testimony that Mr. Miller's given about some of that clearing being due to the snow clearing and some of these other things pushing in, while certainly it's allowed within the easement, it seems to go even beyond that. It feels to me that it's a stretch to call that the travel way. And so my question would be this. If that red line continued straight on through, is the point of contention where it flares towards where the house is proposed to be, or is there an issue closer to the power pole where the kind of the rough edge of the travel way is further away? Do you want me to point on the map and tell you what I'm talking about?
Are you concerned about this area here?
Correct.
Versus here?
Correct.
From staff's point of view, the concern is having all of the development so pushed close to where there is a travel way that's there. And it is a turnaround area. It's not straight, so cars aren't just keeping the straight there. It is meant to be turned around there. That all this will push and there'll be encroachments out into that easement area, making it difficult for fire access or any other kind of turnaround. Once the site is developed, there's not very much room because of how the design and how they've proposed that there would be ample spot on his own property to access and things would be keep pushing out into this travel way.
Understood.
And so 10 feet, you know, is sure. 10 feet. But again, you know, we're looking at, I have to make the findings or recommend findings based on, is this a hardship? And that's what I keep going back to.
Yeah. Well, I have a separate question about the hardship piece. If Jim, would you mind scrolling down to page 12 in the report? There's a picture there. It's like an overhead shot. I think it may be just a little further down than that. Or sorry, further back up. Yeah. So that is. Thank you. So I don't know if you noticed the stand of trees that is clearly not on his property, but to the south, that's kind of sitting in the middle of the turnaround, if you will. Is it possible to condition a variance like this on maybe clearing that so there is more of a turnaround within the easement and the right-of-way, as well within the 100 by 100 foot square, so that there's a mitigation to the encroachment to satisfy the concern by taking out those two trees that are sitting there right in the smack dab in the middle of this 100 foot square, that would certainly improve the turnaround ability there.
This is an access, drainage, and utility easement that's part of the Virginia City Highlands Association. So this is not county land. So I'm not sure about putting in a requirement to do something on somebody else's land. Maybe that's something for Keith.
Yeah, well, it seems that we're enforcing encroachments for a private easement.
Well, we're today talking about encroachment into a setback from the private, from how our code reads. This isn't, you know, we're enforcing mitigation onto somebody else's, like having them do that. I'm not sure. That would be a Keith question.
Sure. And I bring this up specifically because the concern has been expressed that the encroachment would cause concern about adequacy of the turnaround or adequacy of the travel way. And so, yeah, it probably is a sticky legal question, but.
Yeah, and I don't have the answer to that question off the top of my head.
Okay.
Good question.
Sure.
A little bit of something legally. Austin Osborne, for the record. What I think I'm hearing is that there would be a condition in the application that the Highlands Property Owners Association would have to do something in order for the variance to occur. I don't know. Is it just simple to say that we would not be able to condition that another owner entity or private property owner, such as the HOA that owns the road or that manages or maintains the road or the easement, would have to do something?
Because these are all private easements, aren't they?
Yes.
And this the turnaround is also a private easement itself.
I mean, does the county have a compelling interest in setting guidelines and specifications for travel ways and what have you in a private easement?
I don't think we do, no. I think that's the developer's obligation to figure out how they want to do it.
And so putting aside the hardship portion and all the other things, which I would definitely need to address, I'm having trouble with us using as a justification that we would not maintain proper access on a private easement as long as his building is still outside of that easement. Is it really our job to maintain an adequate turnaround there as long as the easement is respected?
Well, I think that the benefit of the turnaround is that public access is not required, but to the extent that there's fire department interests and ambulance interests and snowplow interests, those are important benefits to the people that live in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I tend to agree, Austin, that it legally we can't condition it on someone else having to do something, but potentially, okay, let's just leave that one aside. I think I beat that horse to death. Yes, please, Mr. Miller.
Well, you've got the drawing up here. I'd just like to demonstrate, okay, this is a historical picture. As of this point, I've actually improved the access to the easement. I have cleared these trees, okay? Now, I'm going to have a gate there. Well, obviously, you can't park vehicles and put snow there in front of my gate. Well, I don't know that there'll be a gate there, but that'll be my access. So this is actually improved at this juncture. There's nothing I am going to do, whether I build here or here, that's going to affect that.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. So I think for me the bigger issue is, and Kathy, I appreciate the clarification that really only one of the examples that the comparables, if you will, comparable situations, is apples to apples. But I seem to remember in other parts of the county, there have been variances requested that we pretty much rubber stamp through, whether it's a garage being fairly close to a street here in Virginia City that recently came through. Am I remembering that correctly? We gave a variance for someone to build fairly close up here on the hill.
There is a case, yes, that was a new single family dwelling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to square up in my mind is if we're fairly lax on the hardship finding in some cases, how do we square that up with being more rigorous in the hardship finding in other cases?
I would say that we're not being lax on the other ones. We went through the findings and the conditions of that particular parcel. In that particular case, that parcel was only 80 feet in length, which is different than the typical 100 feet in length that we have. It was also hitting into the back of a cliff that almost was vertical, and they wanted to be able to have 5 feet of clearance in the back of that. So I think there were some, without re-going over that, I mean, we did have some significant looking at what these findings are and making that hardship finding. I don't believe I can think of any other ones, you know, that we take these as very lax. In fact, you don't really get too many of these because we talk people, we try to make things work. I had met with Mr. Miller at a site trying to figure out, can we figure out a way to make this work so we don't even have to go through this process? Is there a way to do it? That's where the property line issues all came up, is we couldn't find the exact corner. We can't find where this exactly is. It really kind of doesn't matter back into the hardship issue. And it was kind of made a bigger deal because we're kind of guessing on some of this stuff. It was offered that if he wanted to have his surveyor come back out and actually mark where these different places were, we'd be happy to come back out there. He wasn't interested in delaying this any further. So I would say for the most part, 90% of the variance requests that we get, you never see because we managed to make it work a different way.
Understood.
Mr. Commissioner, if I may.
Yeah.
Just a sidebar set of thoughts as we move forward. I personally believe that Story County enjoys one of the most professional planning commissions of it. And they deal with a tremendous variety of planning, from a very, very complicated industrial park to all the various issues that go on in our various neighborhoods. And so the first thing that I would say to you is I have a great deal of respect and confidence in the planning department in Story County. Kathy does an amazing job on a lot of very complicated things. That would be my first premise. And secondly, I have a tremendous amount of confidence in our planning commission. They meet regularly. They deal with a plethora of information across their desk. They've looked at this site in depth, and we have a decision from them as our advisors that to deny this application. And so so my general position is I am not comfortable as a commission sitting here and delving through all the paperwork, and I appreciate the testimony that came in, but there have been no changes in that testimony that I can see that would change the decision either of our planning department or our planning commission. And so I personally would be very uncomfortable in reaching out as a commissioner at this table and changing those decisions.
Sure.
I can't support that. So I would want you to know where I sit on
this. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's helpful. And certainly, and kind of to close on the consistency, you know, Kathy, as you mentioned, the lot being less than standard is certainly an exigent or a different circumstance. On the flip side, wanting 5 feet of clearance is a self-imposed hardship under the statute, as I would read it. Very similar to what Mr. Miller's talking about, wanting some yard space in the back, and not necessarily a valid reason for us to grant a. And so, certainly, I see some of those on others. I don't see that as supporting that variance and not this one, if that makes sense. So. So with that in mind, if that's where you stand, you know, unfortunately, with just the two of us deliberating, what that means is we would need two votes to pass anything. And if Lance, if you're finding reason to overturn the recommendation of both planning staff and the planning commission, then it looks like we don't have. Any way you slice it, we don't necessarily have the votes to reverse that decision. And so really that leaves us with just